Lord, thank you so much for these women who love you and love others enough to come here and to study these things and go back with new tools to help others become as much like the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. And I pray now that you will use this material to be helpful and use it for other people's good and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I got saved in 1979. I was 33 years old. I was teaching nursing at a college, and I would characterize, especially the last few months before the Lord saved me, as a person deeply disturbed. I was deeply disturbing everybody around me, too. I was emotionally unstable. I was having dark, morbid thoughts. Sometimes those thoughts were suicidal. I was an alcoholic. I was an immoral woman. I was secretly making plans to leave my family, and that included leave my children. And I remember one day, the thought crossed my mind that maybe God was punishing me. And I was having panic attacks by this point. And it frightened me so badly that I almost fell down. I almost collapsed. It overwhelmed me. We had friends. The Lord sent people. I could not get away from these Christian people that were witnessing to me. And one of them was a couple, friends of ours that had gotten saved, and I thought that was too bad. But anyway, he asked me, "Are you a Christian?" Now, he knew the answer to that question, but I said no. And at that point, I had been witnessed to enough to know I was not a Christian. And I said, "And if I died today, I would go to hell." Now, I really didn't believe in hell, but that was the answer he wanted to hear. The sin in my life was wicked and shameful, and I began, out of desperation, because of my instability got worse and worse and worse, to read the Bible. And our Christian friends suggested, "Why don't you read the Gospel of John?" And so I did. And I just kept reading it. And I would read the whole thing. And I really knew what was going to happen next. After a while, after being in emotional agony for weeks with panic attacks, and really, I needed to be in a psych hospital, but I tried to avoid that. The Lord just all of a sudden, while reading the Gospel of John, he overwhelmed me and saved me and gave me his peace and a new heart. I didn't know enough to know that I had been saved. I didn't know very much at all about God and about the scriptures, but I knew my life was different, and I knew I had this grief over my sin that I had never had before, and I had this amazing desire to please the Lord. And I mean, that was like night and day. And so God changed me from a person who hated to hear the name Jesus, to say it. I despised it, to loving that, to hearing about him, longing for him. I started telling everybody else about him. So God can and does change people who are deeply emotionally disturbed. So what I want to do in this workshop is help you biblically counsel others who are like I was. I began to have an interest in this subject while I was working as a counselor for women at the Atlanta Biblical Counseling Center. I worked there for 8 years part-time with Lou Priolo. And so after you counsel enough, you begin to see patterns of behavior and thinking, and you get better at counseling. You get better at asking questions and getting kind of down to the nitty-gritty quicker. And looking back, I've been NAINC certified 22 years now, and I can only think of maybe 5 to 10 ladies that I would counseled that I would put in this category. And they were very different backgrounds, very different personalities, very different life experiences, but they had common struggles and emotionally and common characteristics. So I want to consider what I call eight characteristics of a counselee who I would describe as deeply disturbed. And I want to give you some practical counseling tips. Now, I'm defining a woman deeply emotionally disturbed as one with a combination of sin patterns in her life, and as a result, she is emotionally unstable. If you read Romans, we won't take the time, but Romans chapter 1 is an example of when God gives people over to their sin and the depravity and the downward spiral. Now, these patterns of sin are not something that should require years and years of biblical counseling to overcome. If the counselee tells you that she is a Christian, if she gives biblical answers to the, you know, about her testimony and the gospel, then I would assume that she is a Christian, but I would expect her to repent. Raise your hand if you need a hand up. Coming to counseling and doing the homework is not necessarily a sign of repentance. People that are hurting usually will do their homework. True repentance is a whole, what Stuart calls a U-turn of heart, a difference in what she thinks about God, about what she thinks about herself, about others, and it leads to a U-turn in her behavior. True repentance is a grace gift from God. Now, the Word of God is alive and powerful, and you can't get any deeper inside a person than that. The thoughts, the Hebrews talks about the Word of God and the judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. If she truly knows God, His Word will have a supernatural effect on her. Now, sometimes women who are deeply disturbed like this have experienced some sort of terrible trauma as children or adults, not necessarily. She may have been sexually molested. She may have been cruelly beaten unmercifully. Her parents may have been bitterly divorced. One or both of her parents may have died. It's very difficult for children who have two angry parents. Parents can provoke their children to despair and to anger, and it just seems especially difficult for a child that grows up with both parents cruel and mean and angry there. The sin against her may have been exceedingly vile, and your heart will go out to her. I mean, I have cried with many ladies.